Welcome to the Momster Radio Podcast. My name is Amber Cranfield. I am your host, and my co-host Sally is here today. She is in a state of mourning because the Astros just lost their opening game of the season.
It's so sad.
Well,
why?
As my husband would say, in true Astro fashion,
no,
they blew it. No,
just
kidding.
That's okay. Just game one.
Yeah, maybe you should be out there banging some trash cans for him.
I didn't know where that sentence was going.
Wow. That reminds me of, I'm obsessed with the Savannah Bananas. Mm-hmm. Like, I really want to go to that game.
Okay.
And you have to win, like, a ticket lottery to even be able to buy tickets.
Yeah.
And I did not get picked. I mean, I got picked for Taylor Swift, but not Savannah Bananas, so.
Eventually, the hype will die down, and we'll go see Savannah Bananas, because I
don't know if the hype's going to die down.
I love all baseball players. I will watch all the baseball games.
It's so much, it looks like a lot of fun. They do a lot of TikToks and dances and fun stuff and games.
They have a Taylor Swift number, don't they?
I don't know. What do you mean number?
Like they sing and like and dance.
Yeah. I mean, I've just seen their TikTok, so I don't know how like the game goes.
I feel like I'm about to die.
Oh.
Because all I see in your glasses is the ring.
Do you see a long haired lady with her head down?
Not yet. It hasn't been 10 days.
I don't normally wear my
Before you
spectacles.
Die, you see the ring.
Well,
I see two.
What does that say? I don't normally wear my glasses for the podcast, but I am dang near blind. Okay. And I'm not saying that to be like, I really can't see an inch in front of my face without them on. And then this last time, which will segue great into what we thought wanted to talk about today, I went to get my eyes checked and the doctor's kind of acting kind of somber. I'm like, what, bro? Do I have a detached retina? Like, why are you acting so serious? You know, he's like, well, you're going to need progressive lenses, which means bifocals.
I need them.
And I said to this very cute, I love this eye doctor I go to. And I was like,
the same one I go
I don't give a shit what you give me. Just make me be able to see really well. I don't care if I look like a granny. I don't give a shit. But they're progressive. So apparently I have a little space at the bottom that I can see out of. So I have to wear these to do lashes because my contacts, you can't see as well contacts.
Well, he told me that I can, because they don't make contacts that way, and I like to wear contacts. So he said what I would need to do is wear my contacts and then buy a pair of readers.
Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Readers, try them on with my contacts in and see which readers help me see up close. That's why I couldn't help you just now, because I can't see up close when my contacts are in.
She's referring to I needed help with a piece of dry skin on my nose, and I'm like, I can't video with, it looks like a cliffhanger. It looks like a booger on there, and it's just from, we went to the beach. You're burnt all to shit. Getting a tan, I turn red and revert immediately back to white despite my Hispanic heritage. So that's great for me. But
yeah, so he told me, he goes, I don't recommend you doing the readers thing yet unless you absolutely need to, because then your eyes are just going to get weaker, blah, blah, blah. So I haven't got the readers. I'm just trying to tough it out. But when I have my contacts in, I cannot read my, I got to do the the thing
close,
with my phone.
Away,
it's ridiculous.
Man. Well, what better to talk about than a midlife crisis?
Yeah, because we're not spring chickens no more.
We're not.
I pretend I am.
You're 41, right?
I am 41.
I'm 42 and a half almost 42 and a half. I don't count halves anymore.
Okay, Grandma.
Listen, if there's anybody out there looking to be my co-host, there's now an opening. No, I'm actually... really, I've been excited about my 40s, and I never felt like, oh, I'm going to have a midlife crisis. I feel like that was the stuff like my dad did, like his generation. I feel like now your 40s is kind of like, I don't know, it seems like it could be a lot funner for people.
I love being in my 40s.
Do you?
My 20s, I was momming and wifing and learning how to be a grown-up, starting to pay bills. It was really stressful because I thought I wanted to be a grown-up, and you really like, oh, crap, never mind, I didn't want to do this.
Yeah.
I got married young, had my kid young, so my whole 20s was, you know, I didn't get a 20s, right? And then my 30s was like the end of my marriage and going through trying to figure out if I could make it work. It didn't. And then mid-30s was the divorce and kind of refinding myself and finding my identity. And then it really feels like everything kind of came together about who I was and what I wanted and what made me happy as an individual right when I turned 40.
Yeah.
And it's been great ever since. It's not smooth sailing,
right?
But I'm more comfortable in my skin.
I mean, I think I'm more comfortable in my skin too. My skin just hurts more. like everything kind of hurts. You know, everything kind of hurts a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think I had some, like, I would like to teach my kids. There's some stuff I would encourage them to do before they get to 40, like start hiking if they want to try that.
Moisturize,
sunscreen, you know, start your Botox super early because it'll prevent the wrinkles instead of trying to stop the wrinkles if they're already here. If that's something you want to do. I don't know. I mean, I love Botox, so I have an appointment in 3 weeks. Thank God. So I feel like stereotypical midlife crisis is the dad that leaves the family. And I'm just saying stereotypically, this could be like
what movies.
In the movies or what we saw maybe when we were younger. Is like, I always felt like it was the dad. Like it, you didn't hear a lot of moms having midlife crisis.
Of course, it's the dad.
It's the dad kind of going and buying the sports car, trading his wife in for a younger version. And I mean, I know some instances where that's happened where people I know, like some friends of mine, but mostly I felt like that. It's kind of like the movies. Like, is that real life? Do you feel like you've seen that happen a lot in the 40s? I feel like it happened more. I saw a lot more people kind of not connecting in their 30s. Because I mean, just to kind of give a little background, I'm still married, obviously, and we've been together since we were 17. So we're, you know, midlife crisising together. But I feel like nowadays, and maybe it's the life expectancy is better. Maybe healthcare is more abundant. I don't know. I just don't feel as old as I felt like my parents were at 40.
Oh, we were just looking at that that one video.
Yep.
We're not.
No, we don't look like that. Who
was it? So you found a video and it was showing millennials. Yeah, compared to like people saying how millennials are aging so well and setting the bar for aging.
Yeah.
And he was comparing what the 40-year-olds or mid-high 30-year-olds look like when we were younger.
Yep.
And it was what? The whole cast of Cheers was like 30s.
They look so old.
30s.
Yeah.
Al Bundy was like, I don't remember, but it was like 40, 41.
It was young. Like they don't make them like that
anymore. But back to the Cheers cast, like the mailman was 35,
that's
right?
That's insane. I don't remember the exact number, but it was a lot younger than I had expected. And that's why I kind of feel like I'd like to rebrand it a little bit as your midlife awakening versus your midlife crisis. I didn't feel like I was having a crisis when I turned 40. I mean, I had some kind of weird feeling of like, wow, I'm halfway. I mean, if I make it to 80, I'm halfway there. If anything, I felt an urgency to really start living life. My 40s have been a big up and a big down. Like I'm doing a lot of internal work that is incredibly hard. It's harder than anything I've ever done, but I'm also having the most fun. And I feel like that's such a true life experience where you can, if you're experiencing the lows, you also can experience the opposite of that. You know, if you're always just super happy and always have everything you want, it's sometimes not as valuable, I feel like. I don't know. I never had everything I wanted. So I just would imagine if I grew up really rich and eventually, you know, you run out of things to buy.
I feel like with life experience that you've had, it just builds to your 40s and then you're able to have a better perspective on what matters and what doesn't and what can make you happy and grace to give. I mean, I'm a big person about grace and giving people grace that are going through their journeys, and instead of just constantly being angry all the time and not letting things affect you personally that don't really matter to your life. Or, you know, it's all about finding your internal happiness and, I don't know, just like not being so stressed out. You know, life is stressful and we still have stress, but I think when you've been through things, you kind of have a better perspective on what matters and what doesn't. And even if you have stress, you know, hey, I'm good. My life is great. Like I'm going to get through this. And, you know, you just appreciate things better when you're older, which makes you just live better.
I never wanted to be that person that told the kids, like, just wait till you grow up, you'll understand. Because I hated when people said that to me, because I feel like I had lived so much life and had so much experience with my work and my home life and my childhood that I wasn't super sheltered. I didn't really understand that life can be hard and complicated. But there's this weird kind of place you get to when you're in your 40s where you've been through so much and you can get this perspective only by going through it.
Yeah,
and if you didn't live all of those things with the kids as they're young, and we can only give like a mom's perspective. So I don't think anybody I know mom-wise is having a midlife crisis, but I think we're all kind of figuring out.
Sure, people say I am.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but no, I think we're just trying to figure out what, like, who we are and kind of circle back to ourself. Yeah. And it's not in a selfish way. It's in a loving yourself way.
It could be. Who cares? Why? I mean, I feel like as moms and wives and women, we're always giving. Mm-hmm. That's what we're taught. Why can't we be selfish if we're not hurting anybody to do it? But it's okay to be selfish. I feel like I am in a little bit of a selfish phase where, you know, I'm setting all these boundaries and I'm not going to go out of my way to people. It could be.
Well, maybe that's someone's perspective, but healthy boundaries are never selfish.
Right. But when you go from people pleasing the majority of your life to being like, I could do that for you, but I don't really want to because I want to do something else right now. That sounds really bad. But do you get what I'm saying?
No,
right?
I do. Okay. What I wanted to kind of reiterate is that healthy boundaries are never selfish. Mm-hmm. Healthy boundaries are healthy boundaries. I think as women, we might be conditioned to think healthy boundaries are selfish or not, or you're not putting someone else first, but really you have to put yourself first to be able to put other people first. Mm-hmm. And I said I was not going to talk about my trauma journey, but you know, here we fucking are. I realized that for what I think a lot of people, being a people pleaser is actually being manipulative, like you're to the core of it. And it's usually for good. Mm-hmm. Okay. You can manipulate things for good and manipulate things for bad. Depends on the energy behind it. But sometimes it has the same negative outcome, right? Mm-hmm. It's not
most of the time it has a negative outcome.
Even though you're trying to manipulate to do certain things. So what I had kind of realized is in me being a people pleaser, I have been trying to manipulate people, unbeknownst to myself, let me just tell you, because I don't like manipulation at all, to help myself feel better or decrease my anxiety or make things smooth over and not argue or to have peace with that person, even though we probably should have hashed it out and had deep conversations, or I just wasn't in the mental space to handle all of that, mm-hmm. to have the hard conversations. And it all kind of came to a head where I realized I got to stop manipulating the situation to decrease my discomfort, because I need to have these hard conversations with people and put boundaries in. So it's kind of like a twofold thing. A lot of times it has to do with either boundaries with my own self, mm-hmm. or boundaries with other people, and not manipulate the situation to make it go away, because it doesn't.
Right.
It's like it festers and then it gets bad and then it just comes to a head again.
Yeah, you can buffer the situation for a little bit to kind of like keep it calm, but the situation's still there. And at some point it's got to be dealt with. I feel like I did that a lot in my marriage. There's a lot of walking on eggshells. Like if I felt things were getting tense, not even in between us, but like with him and other people, mm-hmm. you know, I tried to always like, you know, walk around and dance around and try to make sure that like, no, everything's okay. And, you know, this person's not mad and this person's not mad and this is what's going on. Da, 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 da. And eventually he was like, come on, Sally, that's not what's happening here. Like, and it just made everybody more angry. You know?
That's a different perspective than mine, because I don't have to walk on eggshells with my husband mm-hmm. currently. Like I don't do it because he's making me feel a certain way. It's because I have these coping mechanisms that have almost been ingrained into me as a response to my childhood. But I didn't realize like how much I was fucking up by doing that. And of course, the only thing I can do is take accountability, work on it. But it feels really shitty. Like it feels really bad because I didn't realize I was doing that. And it's not really his fault, or it wasn't warranted because he was going to do something to me. Yeah, it's uncomfortable to have a disagreement with your loved ones, period. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. I don't want to argue with anybody. But I was avoiding hard conversations because the discomfort I felt and maybe the insecurity of what was going to happen if I did bring up my own boundaries or I did bring up something. All I can do is what I encourage other people to do, and what I try to live by, is own your shit. It's like, own your shit. Once you figure it out, you're now accountable. And, you know, people could bring it to my attention and I never thought about it as manipulation, because I wasn't trying to hurt someone or wasn't trying to do anything other than I don't handle conflict well, because I go back to a weird place, mm-hmm. you know, in my brain. And that's not applicable to this situation. It's just not. I'm safe. This is safe. Mm-hmm. So then I had this like period of time where I was like, man, I feel like shit. I feel like a bad person. I know I'm not. That's the perfectionist in me. Like, you're fucking up again. Yeah. Dang it. You know,
we all fuck up everything. Right. That's just life.
But I think the 40s have been a time for me that once I figure out what I'm doing wrong, then I can like really work on it and really make big lasting changes that make me a happier person, make my marriage better, make me a better mom. And then eventually I'll find something else I got to work on. It may seem like, you know, to some people in my life right now, I haven't been real present. It's because I'm doing some really serious work on myself. But back to the whole 40s thing.
Yeah. I have a thought. I just feel like the key to all of this is we spend a lot of time in our lives blaming other people for the way we feel. That's not saying that other people didn't cause certain things to make you feel that way. But as an adult, those feelings are now yours to own. And if you stop blaming other people for what you've been through and how you feel inside and how that affects the way you treat other people, and you take responsibility for it, and you're like, I don't care what happened to me anymore. I'm doing the work. I'm the only one that can fix the way I feel inside right now. Mm-hmm. What happened to me in my past, that's not going to matter anymore. Those people can apologize to me till they're blue in the face, and it's not going to change the way I feel inside. When you own it and you do the work to heal from whatever you've been through, not only for yourself, but mainly for yourself, but for the people that you're potentially hurting in your life, unknowingly, subconsciously, whatever, it's all because of trauma, because hurt people hurt people. But the takeaway is own it, do the work, and heal, because it's going to make you better and it's going to make everything in your life better. And that's my key takeaway from that conversation. And then you can segue back into this.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's a big part of the 40s mm-hmm. that I've seen with you, with me, with other people I know, even with my husband. We're learning how to, I feel like every decade we kind of reintroduce ourselves mm-hmm. to each other. Like, hi, this is the 40-year-old Amber, you know, and this is the 40-year-old Daniel, because we're just in a different headspace. So you're 100% right. Was I really hurting people by being a people pleaser? Not necessarily, but it did cause some conflict because I wasn't addressing things before I either got really upset about it or I was really at the end of my, like, why does this keep happening? And another thing I noticed that I do, and you're an overthinker, so I don't know if you identify with this, but sometimes I overthink something so much, I don't even know what we actually talked about anymore. So I don't remember, is this the conversation that I looked at 5 different ways it could go or 20 different ways the outcome could be and how I could address each one just to like mentally prepare? It's not a healthy thing, but it is something that I do. And then at the end, I'm like, I had a whole conversation, a potential conversation, and I never actually had it with him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, do you do that?
I have a really good memory. So once I have a conversation, I could, like, it's like pressing play. Like, I could replay the whole conversation mm-hmm. back to you. That's why liars don't work with me, because I know exactly what was said and how it was said. However, if there's a shift in energy and there's no communication, then yes, I have overthought every scenario that could possibly be going on to cause the shift of energy. And then that ends up turning into probably me acting like a stressed out crazy person for no reason.
Yeah.
When there just needs to be communication.
I think
the problem with communication is that it takes 2 parties to do that. And yeah. Sometimes both parties aren't willing to do the communication.
Right. And mine was more of a learned thing to do to kind of avoid conflict so that I could feel comfortable or feel safe. And so that does not apply to my current situation. It has to stop. And it's going to, but it takes a little bit of work and takes a little bit of time and, you know,
practice.
Exactly. And I get a very uncomfortable feeling trying to have uncomfortable situations or conversations with people. But the crazy thing is, at work, people are like, oh, wow, you could really word things so well. And I'm like, well, yeah, because I'm manipulating the situation. So we all feel great about it, mm-hmm. you know, and that can be helpful in a work environment if you're being truthful and not sugarcoating it. So I think when I did that in my work environment, I was more true to what I was thinking, but also tried to make it sound a little bit better and a little bit kinder. I definitely am working on that. Well, maybe 43-year-old Amber will not do that tactic to decrease my own discomfort. 40? And I don't do that with my kids. It's weird.
Did you say 43?
Like, when I'm 43, I have to get this shit together before I turn 43.
You're already 42. I forgot already.
Yeah. I'm 41. I know. I'm fucking aware.
I'm just kidding. I was just starting to joke in there.
Okay, fine. You have to.
43-year-old Amber. We got it.
So future Amber, mm-hmm. I'm really thankful that my husband has been patient with all of these things, because these are such foreign things to him. He has a very great upbringing. There's not trauma involved. I mean, there's hardships and things that happen, but not to that level. He has no frame of reference. So I'm also trying to figure out why I'm doing the things and then explain to him so mm-hmm. he can learn too. And he's been really good about helping me with that. And he calls me on my bullshit. So
yeah,
it's kind of a good thing to have somebody in your life who's like, no, no, no.
Yeah. And sugarcoating something, it usually doesn't end up with a great outcome unless it's like a superficial sugarcoat.
Yeah.
But if you're sugarcoating something to try to like prevent them from being angry, yeah. eventually it's going to snowball. And then where you were trying to protect them, it just ended up hurting them. Or let
the person
them.
Decide how they want to yes. react to it and right. then make what you're moving forward. But I think that's been a huge thing in the 40s. Another thing is that I feel like for most people, I don't know, maybe I'm sheltered, maybe, I don't know. I feel like you start to become a little bit more financially responsible, a little bit more conservative. You're like, oh shit, do I have retirement? You know, and I for think sure. a lot of millennials have been working on that. We all kind of got in that trap early on of, you know, getting credit cards. I don't
I
feel
didn't.
Like, oh,
thank
I God.
Never did that. My first credit card, you know about.
That's that was
my,
your first
my
one?
Very first credit card. Really? Yes. Besides like store cards, like I don't feel like that counts because I never ran them.
I ruined my
credit. I kept
credit.
Them at very low limits, but no, I never had a credit card.
I ruined my credit. So I moved out a month after we graduated high school, used credit cards to get, you know, some things for my apartment. And it was, I mean, not super responsible, but I had no intention of not paying it back. I had no idea how to I knew how to balance a checkbook because they taught us that at school, but there was
you
no
don't even
conversations.
Need to know that now.
I know. There's no conversations about, you know, credit and all of those things. And so when I started nursing school, I couldn't work very much because it was Monday through Friday. It was a full-time job to be in nursing school. I quit paying my credit cards altogether because I barely had food to eat, money to buy food.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that. And man, it ate me up inside because I didn't want to be, well, I'm, you know, perfectionist in a lot of ways. So I did not want a bad credit score. And it took me years. And now I have a great credit score. We worked really hard on it and got all that fixed so we could buy a house and have good, nice things. And now I'm like, I don't want to put anything on that thing. I mm-hmm. want it to look good, which is why have a good one if you don't use it, but whatever. I don't know. It's just a little bit different once you start to kind of maybe move up in the ladder of what you're doing or make better decisions about purchases. Because I feel like my early 30s, I made some probably not so great decisions when it came to buying stuff. But now I don't even like this segment as much as I thought I would. Financially responsible. It's fucking boring.
Yeah. Cut the finances.
Yeah. What else do you think about midlife crisis? Like, we don't all have Corvettes. And
I think it's mainly about finding yourself. And I think mm-hmm. in the movies, you know, the man got a sports car and started dressing like a kid and this, that, whatever. They put a negative connotation on it because he's leaving his wife and, you know, yeah. all these other things. But I don't think it has to be that way. I think you're finding yourself and what yeah. you like. And, you know, you're not worried about fitting in anymore. Mm-hmm. And you're just, I mean, I went out this past weekend and I like to dance, you know that. And they do all these young kids, they do all these weird line dances to every song now.
Every song.
Every single song.
Maybe only in Texas. Is it like that other place?
I have
too?
Not. Well,
Nashville? I don't know.
I'm asking you because I don't go anywhere. That's you. So
not doing no line dances. I can tell you that.
And they do it to rap music. So instead of where I would go out there and just like shake my booty by myself, there's a whole dance to it.
Okay. I do miss that kind of just dancing at a club instead of the constant line dancing. I hear what you're saying.
Right. But if you can't beat them, join them. So now I've learned a lot of them, then I'll go out there and do it. But my friends won't go out there with me. Like, I don't know it. I don't know. I'm like, who cares? Nobody's watching you. Just go out there. I'll show you a few steps and you'll catch on. And they won't. And this weekend, I was like, you know what? I don't give a shit. If anybody comes out there with me, I want to dance. I'm going out there to dance. I don't give a shit what anybody's thinking of me and looking at me. And I went out there and I think I danced until I couldn't breathe because I am 41. And then I went and sat down.
What do you think, like, 40-year-old Sally would give 30-year-old Sally advice and say?
Ooh, that's going to be deep. Are you sure?
I mean, I'm not going to cry, so.
I think that 30-year-old Sally was very scared in general of the unknown and very unhappy. And I think that I would tell her it's okay to be scared, but be strong and fight and go through the bullshit and go through the hard times and feel all the pain and you're going to come out in the other end okay and stronger and brave and happy. And mm-hmm. it's going to be worth everything you're going to go through because that's just going to be temporary.
Mm. I think I would tell 30-year-old Amber, I feel like back then I was really worried about my son's future. So he's 17. So if we subtract 10-ish years from that, that was when he first started learning how to give his own IV medicine when he was 7.
Wow.
So he went to hemophilia camp and they start teaching them how to do that. And I was so worried, like, is he ever going to be able to poke himself? You know, it's not just a shot. It's in the vein. It's a lot more complicated to do it. You got to mix it up. Like, there's just a lot for a 7-year-old to start learning. And he went to camp and he learned. And I remember being so worried of, like, is he going to live a normal life? Is he going to be able to have kids and get tattoos if he wants to? Or what if he wants to be a rock star? Can he travel? And all of those things. And he's fucking great. Like, mm-hmm. he's doing great. Like, yeah. he learned how to do IVs really well. He is doing his own shots now. And then I didn't even know 10 years ago if I could look in a crystal ball and find out they were going to develop this medication that he could get in a shot, and he hasn't bled out, you know, outside of a normal bleeding for a normal person in like 3 years.
Wow.
That was never on the radar. And he's about to graduate and he lives a really normal life. I mean, he's got some hardships, you know, some things, but I just specifically remember of like, I really hope I'm preparing him to be a happy, healthy, productive human being. And I mean, he's at work right now, you know, in a fast food place, and he's got a bunch of college credits. Like, he's doing great. It just seems really cool that it really did all work out. None of that was what I could see. Now, if I could talk to 30-year-old Amber personally and be like, bro, calm the fuck down. Like, yeah. you don't need to have two jobs all the time. You don't need to be hyper productive to be a valuable person on this planet. And maybe, I don't know, work on your shit. Yeah. Work on your shit a little bit earlier. It just, for me, it had to happen in that order. I had to secure my family stuff before I could feel like, okay, I can do this now. It's safe, because I was more concerned with, there was a lot of medical stuff going on. You know, he had a port-a-cath, he had just a lot. And so he had some other things. He had CRPS, which is complex regional pain syndrome, I think is what it's called. And it was just like a fucking nightmare. So at the time, that was my main focus.
Yeah. I think I would also go back and give 30-year-old Sally some Powerball numbers.
Like fucking Back to the Future, you know, like
yeah,
Marty like McFly. Biff.
I'm gonna biff it. That's what I'm gonna do.
You're gonna go back and you're gonna have big boobs like his wife did too, and like
yes,
yeah. I
know, it's the first thing I'm doing as 30-year-old. Okay,
I'm rethinking this.
But
now.
I know. I was like, I don't know where my brain went when you were saying. I'm like, oh shit, I'm going to give myself lottery numbers. What am I talking about?
You're gonna then biff
I'm gonna
your life?
Speed through the hard times with all this cash.
Yeah.
Well, no. I'm gonna give it to. Hold on, hang on. Let me do some math real quick.
Okay.
I'm gonna give it to. How old am I? 41. What's 41 minus 7?
We know you're fucking 41.
What's 41 minus 7?
I don't know.
Neither do I. 6.
44. 34.
Okay, I'm gonna give 34-year-old Sally the lottery number so I don't have to split it in my divorce.
Oh my god. You evil woman.
Okay, that's it.
I didn't say, I was close by 10. I went the other way with
yeah.
that number.
Yeah, I was like, that math 34. Ain't mapping, sister.
I did carry the one in the middle. Yeah. I can't do math in my head. I'm really concerned about my brain.
I'll make
how
us
my
look
brain
smart
works.
And I'll edit out. Thank the,
you the fucking lies. It's 100% going in there. We're doing homeschool. I'm like, with my daughter, I'm like, maybe your brother can come help you with this.
I'm blessed with very good mathematician children.
Yeah, your kids are.
And an ex-husband that can do it. Because on the rare occasions that they can't do the math, I'm like, call your dad, because I have no effing idea how to do
that. Yeah, I mean, he can do like algebra and stuff and like figure it out. And then I'm like, hey, Siri, what is the square root of pi plus this, the diameter? And it actually tells you the fucking answer. And I'm like, I was not made to be a teacher. Let me just tell you. Maybe like a drama choir, but I can't play anything, so that won't work. But not that. Health, I could definitely teach science.
You can sing, be a choir teacher.
You gotta be able to play piano to be a choir teacher.
Says
boo.
Who? No.
Yeah,
I always see a lady on the piano while the choir teacher's doing stuff.
I don't know the key of anything. I don't know how to read music. Nothing.
You took choir a long time. Mm-hmm. You did know how to read
nope.
it at one point.
Mr. Few, is that our mm-hmm. our high school one? I was his TA, and he didn't even make me do work. He made me do theory on the computer, and I did theory on the computer every day. Still have no idea.
I could read music most of my childhood.
I can sight read. Oh, my God.
I know. That was Jesus. That was a dramatic S.
Sight read.
Sight read.
You guys do this all the time. It's not like Sid the Sloth. Yeah, no, I could sight read easily.
No, I could read music. My entire childhood.
My brain is very
I'm the
strange.
Musical one here. Is this me?
I mean, I can do the note C anytime. Like I have perfect pitch, but
like we're throwing gang signs
yeah.
now.
It's I can, but I can't. I have no technical anything. They're like, we're gonna make this the key of whatever. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that means. Just let me know what my notes are.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
My brain is very weird. Like it only retains information that I absolutely need, and the rest of it's literally gone.
Mm.
I don't keep conversations. I don't remember what I said.
Ooh, I got a Rolodex in there.
Nope, I don't have any of that.
I got it. Ready to go at any time.
Well, I'm glad you and Daniel do, because
and in my phone. I'm ready. That meme. I love that's that like, little. I do. I can pull it. And I know how to find it really quick now. I just like go into the text and I type a couple words that I know were in the conversation because I can remember things.
Yeah.
And it pops right up, even if it's from like 15 years ago. And I'm like, there it is.
What else? Midlife crisis-y. I don't feel like, I mean, other than I'd really like to have a mommy makeover, plastic surgery-wise, I don't know. I think 40s are pretty good.
I love my 40s.
Like, I love it and hate it, because it's been hard. But I also love it, because I'm getting better. Mm-hmm. I'm taking ownership. I'm not, you know, having that victim mindset of, I don't think I ever necessarily did. I think I just grossly minimized what happened to me. But I'm excited to continue to grow and then see what happens.
I read something probably this morning, and I'm not going to remember it.
I'm sure you do, so.
I want to remember it now because I just talked a big game. But it really said something about when you're going through what they call a midlife crisis, it's more about becoming the person inside of you that the kid dreamed of being, wanted to be, that life got in the way from you experiencing life that way. And so once you get to this calmer place in your life, you can finally kind of let that kid free inside. And that's kind of really how I feel. I feel like I'm a kid inside again. Like there's just, I can find the positive in everything, and everybody's sad sometimes, but not for very long. And then I'm just finding joy in everything and everybody and the best in things and life and blessings. And I feel like that's very childlike. So I think it's kind of comparing it to that. And
I can see that.
Yeah. And so, and I think when people have midlife crisis, they're like, oh, you're 40, you're trying to act like a 20-year-old. And it's not really like you're trying to act like a 20-year-old.
No, bro. In my 20s, I was in fucking nursing school. Like it was fucking hard.
Yeah.
I didn't have any money, you know? And now I'm like, oh, I can be that person and explore life, and I can afford a little bit. Like I can't afford everything, but I can afford a little bit of fun stuff, concerts and trying to travel some. No, I get that. And I think Lambert wanted to be a rock star. So I don't know, guys. I don't even know how logistically that would even work at this point in my life.
Why?
Because people
become rock star musicians off of the internet now. Like you don't even have to try to open up for anybody. Like you just need to start recording videos of you singing and post them.
Okay, moving on.
That's how Bieber made it. I mean,
Bieber was like 12 when he started.
Right. But
and he's not a super happy person right now either.
Well, because he's not 40 yet. Give him some time.
Poor guy. He'll find himself. Old yet. And then they're going to be like, get out of here. You're too old for the business.
But look at Kelly Clarkson, because she's our age, right? And she's just gone through a divorce.
And she's really kind of making it. She's always done well, but now she's really like she's that
happy.
Next level.
You can just see it. She's glowing with happiness. Like Drew Barrymore. You can just, you know what I mean? I'm naming all the talk show hosts, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like.
Could we be on the Drew Barrymore show or the Kelly Clarkson? Could you imagine how cool that would be?
Yeah.
I'd be like, makeup!
You were like that right before
the show. I know, I tried, but nobody showed up.
I did.
You did. I had to get the dry skin off my nose. And you had
And I couldn't see because I have don't have my readers on.
Oh, my God.
We just went full circle. Okay, next topic.
So the universe. Wait, okay. So moving on to another topic. The cosmic situation happening right now is kind of fucking weird. I watch this guy. He comes up on my TikTok. If I watch it kind of daily in the morning, it's Red Robe Astrology. And he always gives like the day. He's like an older man. He's older than us. He's probably his late 50s.
Red Robe?
He just is in his morning robe. It's not weird. It's like a fluffy one. It's not silky. And he's like, good morning, Red Robe Astrology. And he kind of gives you your daily forecast. But right now we had, okay, so we had a full moon, right?
Well,
no, we had a lunar eclipse.
Before that though, because we have an upcoming Mercury retrograde. Oh, and like disclaimer, if you don't believe any of this stuff, that's cool. Like
it's science though. But
we're just talking about what's actually happening in the universe.
You know, as in the solar system.
Yes, which is a fact.
Okay, well,
there are
on.
Planets.
Fact check. Yep, fact
okay.
check.
So their Mercury retrograde is starting on the 1st, but this one apparently had a big shadow period. So there was a pre-shadow period.
It's lurking on us.
And a post-shadow period. And the pre-shadow period started either the 19th or the 21st of March.
Mm-hmm.
So we first started with this shadow period, and then the lunar eclipse was on the 25th, and then the retrograde will start on the 1st.
But didn't we have a full moon and lunar eclipse?
Yes. Okay. It was together.
It was
the same day.
Which is rare.
Full moon, lunar eclipse. Then the retrograde starts on the 1st. And then we have a solar eclipse on the 8th.
Yeah.
And then the retrograde ends, I don't remember when. It's usually 3 weeks. So.
Oh, God.
So there's a lot of things happening.
People can say what they want. But when I worked in the ER, I worked mid shift, either 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. or 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. So later in the day. I would be inside of a building without windows. I knew every fucking time it was a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless. I think labor and delivery Ogilvy nurses will tell you. They're delivering babies left and right mm-hmm. on full moon nights. There's something to it.
Well, the moon affects the ocean. So yeah. there are proven facts that poles of energy in the outer space world mm-hmm. do affect earthly things. Right. So if it's affecting water and oceans, our bodies are made up mostly of water. It's going to affect people in some way or another. It doesn't yeah. have to be, you know, this spiritual thing that goes against your beliefs. Like, it's just facts.
Right. And there's also, I think I just saw there was a big solar flare too. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Get your tinfoil hats out, ladies and gentlemen. It's about to get rough out yeah. there.
But if you really want to dig deep into it, then you can look and see where the lunar eclipse was. You know, it was in Libra, you know, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. You can look into that. But I think the main thing that anyone that believes anything can take away is that when all this stuff is happening, things are kind of going to affect your energy, your thought processes, your decision making, your emotions. So if anything, just take away from this, like, maybe if you're feeling off before making any drastic decisions.
Well, they say during a Mercury retrograde, you shouldn't sign any kind of papers, legal documents, marriages, any of those things.
Some people just have to sign things.
Well, I mean, like, signing, like maybe closing on a house. Sorry to all the realtors out there. Is that what, I don't know.
No, like, just some people need to close on their house.
No, I get it. But if you can avoid it, okay. Like, I'm not going to, you expect delays in flights. Apparently right. there's a lot of flight delays, but I'm not going to fucking not fly because it's.
I would say don't make the decision to sell your house during the retrograde. Yeah, like if okay. you've already put your like house that. Up for sale.
Yeah.
And it well, just if you happened.
Take the offer for Christ's sake. Okay, yeah. Take the offer. But no, I mean, like.
Anyways.
No, making big decisions, like, don't file for divorce during Mercury retrograde. It may not be a good time to be thinking things through. Yeah. Unless you absolutely have to, right?
Like, if, yes, yes.
That's an example. And yeah. Sally's like, no, absolutely. If you feel like you need to do that, keep doing that. I'm just.
No, no, no. That's not what I'm saying.
Every example I'm giving is not. No. You're just taking the balls I throw and slapping them down.
No, I think the technicality of actually signing the paper. I mean, like, don't go, like, I'm leaving my husband. I'm yeah. done with this marriage yeah. now. And you need. Yeah. to go file, then go file. If you have your house on the market and you need to sell it, then sell it. Oh my God. If you found a new job and it just happened to start and you got to go to HR and sign your new paperwork, sign the paperwork. But yes. don't quit your job. Don't leave yes. your spouse. Don't put your house up for sale.
Right. Stop oh, yelling at me.
Can we start over?
No. This is it. This is the amateur astrology time.
Shit. Okay.
But I get what you're saying.
Okay.
That's what I was saying. It's just a better clarification of what I was thinking is don't make any big decisions. I'm not going to lease a new building for a new business or something mm-hmm. in the middle of that. I'm not going to...
Fire your co-host.
Fire my co-host in the middle of Mercury retrograde. I would try to avoid flying if I had to make a choice, but I'm not going to. It's just delays. It's flight delays. It doesn't mean unsafe flying.
Because I have to fly.
It's just it's possibility you might have flight delays. I've looked back and every time I do that, I have minor delays.
But I am going to Indiana the day before the solar eclipse and I get to see it happening there, which is going to have 3 minutes of totality. And I'm
rub it in.
So excited.
My husband won't let me go see it in Austin because there's a lot of like weird conspiracy stuff.
Did he let you see it in Indiana?
No, not at all. And I wouldn't say he wouldn't let me. He's like, I don't think it's a good idea. There's just some weird stuff been going on with all of that. My only concern would be traffic trying to get home.
It looked like just solar farms that were going to be affected.
No, they've got like the National Guard and certain counties in Texas are declaring
Indiana.
A disaster. But I think it's more to prepare for the influx of the amount of people. And I do agree that because we'll have to turn around and come back that day, that traffic probably coming back from Austin is going to be pretty horrendous.
Well, you're welcome to come to Indiana.
I can't. It's my son's birthday. He's turning 18 the day before. Can't
go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And he has prom the day before that. He's going to have prom, birthday, all of that during Mercury retrograde. He doesn't believe in that, so he'll be fine. No, we're going to do something for his 18th birthday, and then he has that. And then we found out that Addison was supposed to have two more things with the Little Dippers for the Houston Rockets, their little kid dance hip-hop team. And
when is that over? I feel like that's cramping my style.
It's over. What, basketball?
Just
dancing.
Every time I ask you to do something, you're doing
Little
Dippers.
Well, that's what I was getting to. They canceled the last performance on the 4th of April, so Easter, they booked us on Easter. Easter is her last performance, so...
On Easter?
Yeah. They have all the little...
What?
I don't know. They're at the mercy of what they decide to do, and I'll be there.
I mean, I like basketball games.
Well, I think because they might be going to the playoffs, they had to rearrange some stuff for advertising and what happens during the timeouts, because they dance during a timeout. And so it wasn't explained to me like that, but the little I heard about it was just they have some advertising requirements that they have to have when they go into playoffs, and also just with the actual getting tickets sold and things like that for playoffs, that they would probably do something different than the kids dancing. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I don't know, maybe if they do go to the playoffs, they'll have them back. Who never
can knows. You take me to the playoff game?
Yeah, I think I still get discount tickets even after, for the rest of the season. Sure. I don't know, it may not apply to certain playoff games, but
I like Rocket games. They're fun.
Do you? There's so much going on. I'm like,
it's my favorite.
I feel like the cat.
So I back and forth. Y'all know I love baseball, right?
We know.
But my favorite live sport to watch, well, first is hockey. Have you ever been to a hockey game?
No.
Shit's so fun.
Really?
They're just literally throwing down the whole game. It's so much fun to watch. And then basketball, because it's just everything's happening right there.
You know? Like baseball. Well,
I mean, I love baseball, but yeah. The games, okay, because I'm ADD and there's no commentator. So usually I'm just drinking and talking, and then I'm like, oh, wait, what happened? Like, you know, because they're not like, oh, he hits a ball. You know, like they do on TV. They don't do that at live games.
Oh, yeah.
So I get distracted.
So you prefer to watch it on TV then?
Well, no, I like to go to the games to have fun. But like the actual sport part is more enjoyable with hockey and basketball.
Yeah, life. I don't know much about hockey other than it looks really rough and might lose a tooth. And
yeah, they do. They
yeah, that's not
they,
for
and
me.
They let them. They can fight. It's so funny. It's hilarious.
I don't know.
We don't have hockey anymore in Houston. But
did we have hockey at mm-hmm. any point? Really? Mm-hmm. I know they have it in Nashville because I feel like we always would get out from our Uber right by that hockey stadium mm-hmm. right there.
Yeah, so much fun.
Well, oh, you want to talk about your daughter's breakup?
Oh, my God. I don't think I can do that.
It's been funny to watch my daughter kind of get acclimated to public school. And I feel like she's on a TV show, like speed dating. Mm-hmm. She's not technically allowed to date, but the boy she's talking to, I feel like we're about a boy a week at this point.
Yeah.
And she's just getting to know as many people as possible.
That's good.
I feel like she had the same 8 boys.
She's trying to figure out her taste because yeah. They're all a little different, right?
Yeah. And she had the same, you know, 8 to 10 boys in her class mm-hmm. before for the same pretty much through, you know, kindergarten and on, you mm-hmm. know. So I'm trying to allow her some space to find out and get to know people. Yeah. I just am like, you can't actually have a boyfriend yet. Like, that's just a little soon. She's 12, okay? You can say, not my idea of a boyfriend. I know she's giving me a look right now.
Well, this is what their idea of boyfriends are.
Yes,
so
that's
she
okay.
does have a boyfriend.
My adult idea it's of what a boyfriend
12-year-old
is.
12-year-old boyfriend.
Yeah, like they hold hands in the hallway mm-hmm. and they sit by each other at lunch and then they don't really...
text each other.
Yeah, they don't really go do much.
Yeah.
That's why my daughter's not allowed TikTok, because it is.
Well, my daughter wasn't allowed TikTok either, and she just was doing it anyways.
How did you find out? So I have a confession.
I think whenever, like, you probably knew.
I but did know. Because my daughter told me, and then she's like, don't tell her. Oh, I'm like, God. Well, if I need to tell her, I will. But if it's just harmless right now. She's like, Audrey would be mad if she knew I told you. And so I was like, I'll just keep that in my pocket for later.
Audrey Addison's a snitch.
She did.
Amber's not a snitch. But Addison's a snitch. I think that one time I came in her room and she was on her phone past her bedtime and I'm trying to grab it from her and she's whatever. And I'm like, no. And so it's on her browser history. I'm like, oh, you have TikTok, which I had already, I'm not stupid,
yeah.
but like I needed her to get caught.
Right.
And my main reason for not, she still doesn't have the app because I'm just hard-headed at this point. But the main reason for her not getting it was because as soon as she got her phone, like she became a slob. Like she doesn't clean her room. She
highly
doesn't
addictive.
Take it. Yes. Yeah. So she is so worried about being on her phone that all her prior, and she was my like organized kid. Mm-hmm. And that's all just gone out the window. So I was like, why am I going to give you one more app that's going to distract you more than you're already distracted? So it was always like, if you get your shit together, then maybe you can start having these extra privileges, you know.
Whatever. My daughter had TikTok, but when it was Musical.ly. Mm-hmm. And then when it changed and I really realized your algorithm can be anything, mm-hmm. I was like, nah, it's just not for her. And then there were some things that happened that she just kind of demonstrated she wasn't ready for that kind of responsibility. So she doesn't have it. I know she watches certain videos, but as far as having her own, unless you know something I don't, she doesn't have her own. She has, I think she watches YouTube Shorts and that's about the, it's kind of similar, but it's more
And if I
friendly.
Did know some, I ain't gonna tell you, bitch.
Well, I did know about it, and I was like, all right, I know this little nugget, and if we'll see how this plays out a little bit, because Addison was like, please don't tell her. And I'm like, well, if I have to tell her, I will. Addison thinks that I deleted all her videos that she had in her TikTok, because she made cute little kid videos. Mm-hmm. And they're actually in my hidden folder on my phone. Nice. I downloaded every one of them, because she thinks they're cringe now, because she thinks everything's cringe when she was that age. Mm-hmm. And it was probably around 7, 8, 9, somewhere around there. I think they're adorable, and it's her history. And one day she may not feel as bad about it.
Layla loves going through her old videos and laughing.
Yeah. I took them off the internet, and they were already privated, mm-hmm. but I took them out of the app and then just downloaded them to my phone.
So. Yeah, the Musical.ly ones were really cringy.
Yeah, but they were so cute.
Oh my gosh.
I think it's strange too, because I don't allow her to have Snapchat for a lot of reasons. And that's a personal decision, not hating on anyone else. I just don't feel it's appropriate for her or my son, really. I mean, he's about to be 18, so if he wants Snapchat, he can get it at 18. However, we don't let her have it, but we went to a practice for dance, and there were like little kids, like 7, 8, 9 years old with Snapchat. And that just terrified me, because I know you're really good at navigating Snapchat. I don't understand the app a whole lot. I don't care to like figure it out. If I let her have it, I would obviously have to know how to do it. I just don't like the whole disappearing post thing, because you can't monitor that very well. It makes me nervous that just anybody can message her. And
you can change the setting now where they don't delete.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, she's still not getting it. So I don't want to have to monitor not one more thing. I have enough.
That's how I felt about TikTok. I was like, if she gets it, then I got to get it. But then you made me get it anyway. So I was like, shit.
Momster Radio made you get it.
Yeah. I still don't have anything on there.
I feel bad for not saying anything, but I also was like,
I don't care.
It's not.
I'll get you back. You're like,
surprise, Addison has a Snapchat.
No,
that's different. That's different.
Hmm.
It is different.
I'll be like, when you're like getting mad at me, why didn't you tell me? I'll be like, because remember that one time? Remember that time? Yeah, now we're even.
I wanted to like not betray my daughter's trust, because we've been really working hard to build.
What about my trust?
Because your daughter's, I've known you longer. No. Your daughter is relatively well behaved, okay?
Yeah.
Like more than relative. And I'm not saying mine isn't. They're just different in some things right now in how they conduct themselves. So your daughter is very busy, first of all. Busy with sports. She's in a lot of accelerated classes, and we've had a lot of transitions right now. So yeah. I think that in that moment I chose, okay, let me build some trust with her. And I'm like, okay, well, is it anything that I need to know about? She's like, no. They're stupid. Like, it's not, she's more just watching stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, if that changes, we need to talk about that. Mm-hmm. So I did, but I was like, at some point I'm gonna have to come clean. So
I'm not mad.
Yeah. I didn't think you would be either. So separate from that, but I was watching a TikTok about this mom who was being bullied online. They said she was really ugly. And then Bunny, like Jelly Roll's wife.
Yeah.
Sent her for the spa day. And did you see that?
Mm-mm.
So she sent her for spa day and to learn some makeup tips. And somebody called, I guess they call, is it DCF or whatever, Department of Children Services or DCS? Some random person called on her simply because she was going viral.
Why?
I don't know. Like, people do that.
That's weird.
When you're on the internet and you go viral and people get mad, maybe I don't know. Hopefully there's nothing to that situation. Bunny came on to talk about the situation because she felt like they were just trying to do something nice for her and it went viral. And because of that, she got a lot of backlash. But she was already being bullied relentlessly in her comments because of her physical appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And her ability to, or lack thereof, I guess, to do makeup. I'm not great at makeup. I just have lashes. Like, it helps.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know all the tips and tricks and all of that. But she, they called family services on her. I don't know what the claim was, but that happens a lot to these people where they'll call different things, or they'll call their job and try to get them fired if they disagree with what you say. There's two major creators that aren't on TikTok right now, which is Elise Myers and Jen Hamilton. Jen Hamilton is the nurse that gives great labor and delivery advice. She's pretty fair and balanced. She does have some of her own opinions, and people got really mad about her view of abortion laws, and she's a labor and delivery nurse. That's a unique perspective because there are certain things that happen within that realm that are out of the control of people,
mm-hmm.
and it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then Elise Myers is a great, mental health advocate. She's...
Is that the one I like that sings?
Yes. Okay. That she's funny, but also like very quirky.
I love her.
And they're both
what
off
happened
of
to her?
They're taking a break from TikTok because they were being bullied, or people were doxing them or calling the nursing... I don't know if they call the nursing board on her, but they do that. There are people out there who get really fucking pissed off and have nothing better to do than to try to ruin people's lives. Fucking scary.
It's not 40-year-olds because we're just happy.
I don't know. There might... I know some unhappy 40-year-olds.
That's true.
But most
they're
of them
are
just...
They're not doing work on themselves
they're
yet.
They're not, no. And it's just, it's a scary world out there. And that's why I'm like, I don't want my kid all over the internet yet. I mean, yeah. She's got plenty of access, but not as much as a lot of her friends do.
Yeah.
It just depends on the kid. My son doesn't really care about that stuff.
It's really sad. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I've had an excellent time speaking with you today.
Aw, me too.
I've had to be a full-ass adult the last couple of weeks, owning my shit or renovating our shower and bathroom. Mm-hmm. I did not realize how much I hate having strangers in my house. And it's not the strangers. They were super nice. Mm-hmm. But just like, I've got a lot of animals and logistics, and I don't want my daughter home by herself when mm-hmm. there's, you know, people working in the house, or my son, but he's like 6'1". He's fine. But it's... I don't know. It's been kind of upheaval. Everything's in the wrong room. It's kind of like my brain right now. Mm-hmm. Like I'm rearranging some things. I'm renovating some parts. And
it's eclipse season, retrograde season. There's everything's scrambled up.
So I'm good to pick paint though, right? Can you pick paint during retrograde? It's not retrograde yet. We're just in the shadow. I'm picking paint.
No.
Yeah, I have.
Don't make any decisions. Don't.
It's not retrograde yet. And the universe is really funny. They're like, April 1st, April Fool's Day.
I know, but I think everything's already started. They're saying right now. And also for you people who do believe in energies and stuff like that, they mm-hmm. said, this is not the time to manifest. Turn all your manifestations off. You just go with the universe right now and yeah. just stay calm and open.
Everybody and calm. Stay calm.
No manifesting. Yes. You cannot fight against this. You have no manifesting right now.
Yeah, so. I'm not fighting. And I am definitely mm-hmm. just drowning in the ocean at the moment, but in a good way.
It's like guiding you where you're supposed to be. So that's why they don't want you to manifest.
It's so weird because I went and read, you know, my specific horoscope for this season for Sagittarius, and to the fucking day stuff happened. Mm-hmm. That whatever site that is, we'll have to post that sometime, but mm-hmm. that site is, I don't know who they have mm-hmm. doing that. It might be Red Robe Astrology. I don't know.
Because we read it for the one that happened in mm-hmm. December mm-hmm. and it was
spot on.
Pretty spot on.
Yeah. And it's not super generalized either. It was like, this day, mm-hmm. this is going to happen. And I mm-hmm. swear to God, that day that happened. And I was like,
and you read it before those days and kind of were like,
I don't remember stuff.
Yeah. But you were just like, I think you kind of just were like, I don't.
Of course, at the bottom, it talked about like a new love, because Daniel and I are both Sagittarius. So I sent it to him and he's like, what new love are we getting? I was like, each other. Ourselves.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I'll get another animal. It's fine. Just calm down.
And I think mine was pretty spot on so mm-hmm. far.
It was really strange because there was a specific date in there. It was like, mm-hmm. things are going to be rough. And mm-hmm. it was rough. And then you were like, hey, do you remember? I'm like, no, I don't fucking remember anything. And I went back and looked. I'm like, holy shit.
Because you don't listen to shit.
I'm 10 second Tom.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Tom.
Nobody ever listens to me. And I have such
I listen to you. I don't retain information. I don't understand.
Well, you remembered it now.
Well, because it happened, and I was like, holy crap, that's crazy.
I was trying to warn you and prepare, let you prepare for it.
So I need you to be like, hey, on March 25th, do not do XYZ at all. Good morning, Amber. Mm-hmm. This is your warning. Do mm-hmm. not act like an asshole today. And I'll be like, new phone, who dis?
But I don't even know what you're doing, so how am I going to know?
It's inevitable at this point if you believe in all of that stuff, then it's going to happen, and it's meant to be, and you work through it and you come out better on the other side. Mm-hmm. But I'm fucking tired. So we need to get through the eclipse, get through Mercury retrograde, and then bada bing, bada boom, mm-hmm. be good again. I mean, it's not terrible, but it's just like, it's kind of like choppy waters, you
right,
know?
It's not always meant to be terrible. It's
transformative.
You just have to prepare for it, right? So if you know kind of how it might affect you based on what house is being affected, and that's a whole other can of worms.
If anyone knows any astrology educated person, I would love to have them on the show.
Yeah.
And I really would like to know how scientifically that ties in, because I love having actual evidence, scientific proof of like why this is the way it is, why the energy affects people, and kind of that like science part of that. I would freaking love that.
So you just have to know to prepare for it, because sometimes if it's going to affect you in this way, and you're feeling all this energy and dramatic, and then you're like making a decision, like communicating with the wrong person or whatever, you know, then you know, oh, wait, this is a feeling. This is not actually like something that's going to be affecting my whole life. So let me just stay calm.
It's kind of like when you PMS.
Yeah.
And every month I'm like, oh.
Our universe is PMSing. That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, it's like, it feels uncomfortable. You're not really sure why. The universe is PMS. It is strange because every month I'm like, I get the notification. It's like, it's 5 days to your period. And I'm like, no wonder I'm acting crazy. But every month I forget. But it is. It's kind of like the universe is having PMS. You don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just acting up. It doesn't feel right. It's making some changes. It might be a little extra hungry, have a little cravings. And then you'll be like, oh, this was why.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're okay. And then repeat mm-hmm. it again when it happens again. Thankfully, it doesn't do that every month.
No.
And hopefully it never goes into menopause, right? That would be weird.
Or gets pregnant.
Births a new Pluto.
Yeah.
I wanted that planet a part of this solar system.
What the freak?
Everybody's like, yeah, they're done.
We're done.
Canceled.
You're done.
Okay, well, thank you for listening to this episode of Momster Radio. Unfortunately, the Astros did lose. Mm. That's not a spoiler alert because this won't be posted until
after. You won't even know what game we're talking about. It's opening day. Opening day, Astros lost.
Wah, wah. They have plenty more to win. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Thank you for listening to Momster Radio. Please don't forget to subscribe, like, follow, share. And congratulations to Nicole York. She is the owner of Desert Rose Aesthetics. Congratulations. We finally did that. We have two more to do. So we'll update on social media. And I really think what we need help from our listeners is to subscribe to our podcast. Tell your friends and family. Tell your other 40-year-old moms. Hey, give these girls a chance. And listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, if not, we just talking to ourselves. That's
fine. We really want more engagement. We want ideas. We want to know if you want to be on it, like reach out. We can't, you know, we can't accommodate everybody right now.
Yeah, it's not weird to ask that.
But yeah, like if you have something to talk about, like we're open to it. We want to start doing live videos. We want.
Yeah. Or if you have interesting life story or something you've gone through and like we could learn from, I'd love to fucking do that.
But we need some engagement because we don't know. We know that, you know, you guys like it and are listening, but nobody's really commenting that much about what you want more of or what you like or what you don't like. Like, we'll take any kind of constructive criticism. So we want to hear from you. We really do. And if you're not comfortable commenting, send us a message privately. Yeah,
absolutely. All right. Well, thank you, my pretties, for listening to Momster Radio. And Sally,
see you next Tuesday.
Welcome. Mother, stop touching my microphone.
I hadn't prepared this.
I'm not even recording. I'm going to record.
Well,
we're just zenning out.